السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. It's a great honor, great pleasure to be here this evening. So many wonderful people, so many beautiful faces, and people who are seeking answers and direction and trying to do something positive with their lives. Alhamdulillah, as Dr. Mahmoud was saying, the problem isn't necessarily Facebook or Twitter or MySpace, Twitter. I thought Putty Tat, Twitty Bird, whatever his name is. MySpace, MyFace, television. The problem is not those things in and of themselves. The problem is that collectively, increasingly, they're turning us as a community away from the remembrance of Allah. That's the problem. And when we turn away from the remembrance of Allah, our hearts become hard. And when our hearts become hard, then the impact of these various media begins to, the negative impact begins to increase exponentially, because we're using it, it's hardening our hearts, because it's turning us away from the remembrance of Allah. Our hearts become hard and we get more deeply involved, and we start to do things or say things we normally wouldn't say. We start to hurl insults and abuses. We start to hit the sin button without reflecting, even for a moment, of the consequences of those words. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that the son, and it could be the daughter of Adam, speaks a word, not realizing fully the implication of that word. And because of that word, he or she is flung into the depths of hell, greater than the distance between the east and the west. So we have to realize we might be able to find some benefit from these various media. We might be able to communicate a crisis situation. But as a community, the ultimate benefit that we will have is found in the book of Allah. Today is Friday. Don't raise your hand. It was Friday. How many of us read Surah Al-Kahf, one of the sunan for Friday? How many of us made abundant salawat on our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the sunan for Friday? How many of us read our hizb from the Quran? How many of us engaged in any of the awrad or the litanies, even the prophetic ones, the mathurat of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us started our day invoking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our day? How many of us, asbahna wa asbahan muku lillah walhamdulillah? How many of us, Allahumma inni asbahtu ala fitrati al-islam wa ala kalimati al-ikhlas wa ala dini nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala millati abina Ibrahim hanifan musliman wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen? Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa alayka natawakkalu wa ilayka nushur. How many of us ask for Allah Ta'ala's protection this morning. Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayra hadha al-yawm fathahu wa nurahu wa nasrahu wa hudahu wa barakatuh. Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayra hadha al-yawm wa khayra ma fihi wa khayra ma qablahu wa khayra ma ba'da wa na'udhu bika min sharri hadha al-yawm wa sharri ma fihi wa sharri ma qablahu wa sharri ma ba'da. How many of us? It takes time. It takes time. And when we realize it takes time to save ourselves from hell, when we realize it takes time to refine and elevate our souls so that we're no longer that nafs ammara bisu, but we begin to elevate to the nafs al-lawama, we begin to question what we're doing. We begin to re-examine our lives. We begin to do good deeds, and even when we fall into bad deeds, to rebuke ourselves and to question our behavior. And through that struggle, we rise to the ranks of the nafs mutma'inna. It takes work and it takes time. And when we realize that it takes time, we don't have time for nonsense. We might have time to post something on the internet related to our business, our course of study, but we don't have time to waste time seeking out frivolous friends who aren't our friends in reality. They're our enemies. We don't have time to trade abuses and insults with each other. We don't have time to spend hour after hour after hour just surfing the net, not knowing where the wave of facade, what beach of perdition is going to wash us up on. We don't have time for that, brothers and sisters. And I'm sure if I were to ask this question, which I will ask since I mentioned it, do you think we'll become a great community, a community that will impact on the state of this nation at a time when this nation is in desperate need of direction, is in desperate need of guidance, is in desperate need of someone to raise, present a different narrative to counter the rising voices of racism and xenophobia and economic exploitation of human degradation? Do you think we will be a community who raise that voice if generally we're spending 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day involved in these various media? Or do you think if we spend 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day reciting and studying the book of Allah, engaging in our litanies, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying at night when the people are asleep, do you think we'll be a great community? I know we'll be a great community because those are the things that made past communities great. Those are the actions that made past communities great. And we have to decide what kind of community do we want to be. Do we want to be a community of Muslim Bart Simpsons and Muslim Urkels? I can't think of any recent people. I blew up my TV in 1987. But is that who we want? Muslim 50 Cents? Or whoever, I'll guess 50 Cents done. Muslim Lil Wayne's. See, we got Lil Wayne. Is that what we want? Or do we want to be Muslims who are trying to rise up and be to the level of Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman, Ali, Mus'ab bin Umair, da'is who call to Allah with seriousness? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. What kind of community do we want to be? And as young people, what do I want to be doing for the rest of my life? Do I want to be following every fad that comes along? I talk with Muslims who are wearing baseball caps backwards with the label still on the lid underneath and the price tag hanging off. Maybe they don't do this anymore. I don't know. It's been a couple years. Things change. And I say, you're only doing that because you saw some idiot on television do it. No, that's my style. It's your style. How's it your style when you weren't doing it until you saw that idiot that you swear you didn't see doing it. That's not your style. That's Spalding's style. Because Spalding's making the baseball caps you're buying $50 a whop. That's not your style. Pants hanging off your rear end. Yo, that's my style. Yo, why are you hating on me like that? Because you're looking like an idiot, and I don't want to see my Muslim brother looking like an idiot. That's why I'm loving on you like that. I'm not hating on you. If I was hating on you, I'd just keep on being an idiot. Lower them another 2 inches. You know, see how long your underwear are. If you have on boxer shorts or the skimpy type. If you're advertising something, astaghfirullah. Be careful of the neighborhoods you walk into. You might attract the wrong kind of attention. Be pulling those pants up real fast. But yo, man, why are you looking at me like that? I'm not into that. Moving right along. No, those are the kinds of questions we have to ask, brothers and sisters. Do you want to imitate a bunch of fools? As Dr. Mahmoud mentioned, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. A person's on the religion of his companion or her companion. Let every one of you consider well the company you keep. You sit down on the couch and invite all kinds of profligates into our house. Just turn on the television. They're in the living room with us. You might as well have them right there. And then we start using their language. And Muslims walking around, nigga this, nigga that. Yeah, let me call my nigga up. Astaghfirullah. People were killed because of that word. That word has a history. We're not worried about history. Because we're lost in space. And because we're lost in space, we just blow whichever way the wind blows. So if the wind says, just use this word, or use that word, or use profanity. There was a time, and there's still a time in this country, no one who was serious about religion used profanity. Because profanity was associated with the devil, with shaitan, with Satan. That language, just say what you want to say. That's from shaitan. Say what you want to say. People had to learn certain things. They had to learn certain things. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ Shaitan taught people and his dupes how to split people up. Because the love between a man and woman is powerful. It takes skill to separate them. And usually people are arguing with you, they still love each other because the love is that strong. So I just don't know what happened. We're just fighting all the time and I love him so much. I don't know why we're screaming at each other and fighting, and I hit him with the frying pan and I love him so much. Yeah, I don't know what happened, man. I really love the sister, but you know, I don't know what happened. I know what happens. Your heart became hard. You forgot who you are. You forgot the great blessing Allah bestowed upon you by bringing you together with that brother or that sister. And then shaitan came and he agitated you. And he's skilled. He's a skilled agitator because he had two good teachers. Harut wa Marut. وَاتَّبْعُ مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مَلَكَيْنِ بِالْبَابِلَ هَارُوتُ وَمَارُوتُ فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. People have to be taught things. And when we turn on these media, we're being educated. We're being given an education by people and forces we don't oftentimes understand. But behind them, if it's negative, you can bet shaitan is in the mix somewhere. And we have to protect ourselves from shaitan. We have to protect ourselves. And we protect ourselves through the remembrance of Allah. If being distanced from Allah hardens our hearts. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. So the time became long, the distance, the time between when the messenger came and the time they live in, when they first took the shahada and the time they find themselves in, when they first joined the MSA and were really fired up, and now the time they find themselves are. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ وَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and their hearts became hard. فَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ, and then many of them become corrupt profligates. This is what's happening through a lot of these media. And we stop it, and تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, by the remembrance of Allah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّوا الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and their hearts find comfort and are softened through the remembrance of Allah. Does not the remembrance of Allah bring comfort? Comfort to the hearts. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not study and reflect on the Qur'an? Or are their hearts sealed up and locked in boxes, chained and locked up? We have to unleash our hearts. And we unleash our hearts by getting serious about this religion. We have to be serious. This isn't a joke. One of the gravest consequences of these media collectively, and they have their good uses, but one of the gravest consequences of these media is that they advance the idea that life is fun. I want to go on Facebook and have some fun. You know, I watch television, that musical video, it portrayed so much fun. So much fun. Life isn't fun. That's a lie that Shaitan is telling people. Why? To make us unprepared for life. And when we're unprepared for life, then we're unprepared for death. Because life is preparation for death. And Shaitan wants us to be unprepared for death. Therefore, he preoccupies us in ways that render us unprepared for life, because he wants a lot of company in hell. He wants a lot of company in hell. Life isn't fun. Life is a struggle. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those who struggle in our ways. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Oh, you believers, Allah doesn't tell us have fun. افْرَحُوا صَابِرُوا. Patiently persevere through the trials, the tribulation, the struggle, the difficulties of life. When we think life is fun, what happens? The reality hits sooner or later. Then we fall apart. So I'm having so much fun until I have to pay my own rent, keep my own car on the road, buy my own clothes, buy my own food, take care of my own children. All of a sudden, it's not fun anymore. But because we were having so much fun, we're unprepared for the wife, unprepared for the husband, unprepared for the children, unprepared for the struggle. And then we fall apart. And when we fall apart, we might even blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really open the door for shaitan. How could Allah do this to me? I thought, well, life was fun. A real loving God wouldn't put all this seriousness in front of me. I would have had fun until I was 90 years old. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Life is struggle. Life is sacrifice. Life isn't about me. That's the topic. this was all introduction. The me generation. Well, I want to satisfy me. That's what the fun is. But seriousness involves working for others. Seriousness involves sacrificing for others. Seriousness involves living for others and not for ourselves. And this is what Islam is telling us. Seriousness involves a life of service. Service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and service to our fellow human beings. And that seriousness gives us something fun never gives us. Fun will never provide a human being with fulfillingness and satisfaction. Because once you have some fun, you want to have more fun. Right? This was fun. That the twister at Six Flags was fun until I rode it two or three times. Now I need something more stimulating. I need to go to whatever, Seven Flags, because I heard they have the ultimate thrill roller coaster. Yeah, man, I saw people, they were screaming, their eyes were popping out of their socket. So we had to go to Seven Flags. And then we ride on the Thriller, Chiller, Bone Chiller, whatever. And it's fun until we do it a couple times. Then it's not fun anymore. Come on, let's go to Seven Flags and go on the Chiller, Thriller, Bone Killer. Oh, man, I've been there, done that. I'm bored. Well, I heard Eight Flags, they got a roller coaster. It's like 97 stories high. And when you go down, they have turbo jets pushing you down. It goes down 300 miles an hour. Three people had heart attacks. Yeah, that sounds like fun. You're never satisfied. Talib al-Dunya is never satisfied. One chasing the pleasure, the fun, the comfort of this world is never satisfied. But when you serve people, you find satisfaction. When you assist the weak, you find satisfaction. When you extend a helping hand to the needy, you find satisfaction. When you bring a smile to the face of your depressed brother or sister, you find satisfaction in yourself. Those are lies that have been told, that we'll find satisfaction serving ourselves. We'll find satisfaction seeking fun in this world. Satisfaction is in serving others. Satisfaction is in making it easier for other people. Satisfaction is found in bringing a smile to the face of others. That's why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was constantly serving others in his home. Kana fi mihnati ahlihi. He was in the service of his family. He was in the service of his ummah. He was in the service of those who were serving him. And at the end of all of it, his concern, when everyone, because of the circumstances, and the circumstances being the horror of the resurrection, they're back to that me generation, nafsi, nafsi. What is our Prophet saying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ummati, ummati, my nation, my nation. He still, even when circumstances have reduced the most generous, charitable, selfless people to thinking about ourselves, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thinking about his ummah. He is our example, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is our example. And when we follow his example, we don't have these faith crises. When we follow his example, we're not deceived and deluded by all of these trends and movements and fashions and that pass through this world. We have thabat. We have consistency. We have consistency, brothers and sisters. And this world is in desperate need of people who have consistency. People aren't flakes, who don't flake out on you. We're all trying to find someone consistent. We have to start with ourselves. Start with ourselves. And then we will attract people who are likewise, who reflect our values. In conclusion, I want to say this. Brothers and sisters, reflect on the nature of this life and reflect on what do we want to hear at the end of it all. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran that there, at the end of everything, there's two groups. In one group, there are permanent people and temporary people. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. There's going to be a group in paradise, and there's going to be a group in hell. And what we do right now is going to determine which group we're going to be in. The kind of life we lead during our time in this life. And we don't know when any of us can pass away. We had tragic news yesterday. Some of you in Chicago might know Brother Ubaidullah, convert, Brother Will, beautiful brother. He worked with Iman, with Rami Nashashibi. He's been studying in Egypt, a diligent student of knowledge. His 25-year-old wife dropped dead yesterday on the sidewalk. 25 years old. Bam. Her time was up. None of us know when our time is up. We can't assume, oh, I'm going to live to be 80 years old, so when I get 60, I'm going to get serious about this life and about this deen. And I'm going to go out to that last 20 years. It's going to be the home stretch. Man, I got my kufi ready. It's in the closet right now. I got like special preservatives on it so it can last for the next 40 years. So when I get there, it's going to be nice. Take it out. Bismillah. Got my Hajj reservations because I got everything out of my system by then. So I'll be ready for Hajj. None of us are guaranteed we're going to live tomorrow. So we have to make sure we're doing everything in our power and capability to get right with Allah today. And I'm not trying to depress you. Like I said, this, you work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You work for your soul, to salvation of your soul. You work for the service of others. You'll find fulfillingness and bliss unimaginable. In conclusion, because I see the notes being written. That's either one or two notes. Imam Suhaib is in here. You can take more time. Or, all right, let's cut it. Let's have Q&A. So we'll try to preempt that. The first is three things. One hadith mentions. Or the first, in terms of bliss. There's a hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beautiful hadith. It's not in the major collections, but it's an acceptable narration. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ta'arudu ila nafahati rahmati rabbikum fa inna lillahi nafahati rahmatihi yus'ibu biha man yasha'u min ibadihi. So he said, expose yourselves to the gentle breezes of your Lord's mercy. For verily Allah has gentle breezes of His mercy. He touches with them whomsoever He chooses from His servants. Many of you, I know some of the young brothers here, you play basketball, right? In the summertime, when the weather's hot, and your daddy's rich, and your mama, yeah. Anyway. So you're out there sweating. It's like 95 degrees in Chicago. Kobe knows about that. If your nickname's Kobe, you have to play basketball. So you're out there sweating, and it's 95 degrees, 100% humidity, and you think you're going to drop. And then that breeze blows in off the lake, and you just stand there, right? You stretch your arms out and just soak it up, right? Gets on your T-shirt, and so the sweat now becomes a source of making you even more cool, and you feel blissful. Allah Ta'ala has breezes of His mercy more blissful than that. And how do we expose themselves? How do we go like that and expose ourselves to those breezes? Through our prayer, our recitation of the Quran, the litanies we recite, studying aspects of the religion, And while we're doing that, one of those breezes might touch us. And Ibn Rajab, who mentions this hadith in his book, Lata'if al-Ma'arif, he says, وَمَنْ أَصَابَتْهَا وَمَنْ يُصِيبُهَا فَسَعِدَ سَعَادَةً لَا تَشْقَى بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. So he says, one who is touched by one of those breezes experiences happiness and bliss that's so intense, they're never saddened for the rest of eternity. Bismillah. Expose yourselves, brothers, sisters. Expose ourselves to the gentle breezes of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. The second, Allah Ta'ala, or the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتْ وَأَتْبِي السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَالِكِ النَّاسَ بِقُولُكَ حَسَنٌ. Live a life where we're respecting the commandments and prohibitions of Allah. That's taqwa. اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتْ. Wherever we are, not just at the ISNA conference where there's 30,000 Muslims, easy to go and join the prayer. Wherever we are, when we go back home, when we're traveling, when we're with Muslims, when we're with other folks, wherever we are, try to be mindful of Allah Ta'ala's commandments and prohibitions. That's the essence of taqwa. And that involves those involves the rights that are owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتْبِي السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And any misdeed you do, follow it up with a good deed, being weightier, will wipe it out. If you slip into sin, don't despair. Go and do something good. Because that sin is one against you. The good is at least 10 for you. الْحَسَنَاتُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. 700 for you. إِلَى سَبْعِ مِيَدِفْ. إِلَى عَدَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Many times over that. So don't despair, just go do a good deed to wipe out that bad deed. And this is the instruction of our Prophet ﷺ. Any misdeed you do, follow it up with a good deed. Being weightier will wipe it out. Tamhuha. Though, and that involves the rights we owe to our soul. We don't want to condemn our soul to eternal damnation. We don't want our soul to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carrying a mountain of sin on our back. We eliminate that through repentance. وَقَالِكَ النَّاسَ بِقُولُكَ حَسَنٌ. And deal with people with good character. Yourself on the basis of good character. And again, that's something serious. Good character isn't being a clown with people. Good character isn't insulting people, putting people down, playing the dozens. Good character is being truthful. Good character is having integrity. Good character is assisting people. Good character is lending a helping hand. And good character, our Prophet, he jokes sometimes, we're human beings. And sometimes it's desirable to tell a joke. You see your brother or sister is depressed. You want to cheer their spirits up. You want to make them more depressed. We're Muslims. We're serious people. Imam Zaid said, life isn't fun. Astaghfirullah. Now you're really depressed, aren't you? No, we're human. But our life isn't a joke. Our life isn't just one stretch, continuous stretch of fun and thrill-seeking, punctuated by a few moments of seriousness. Our life is a serious endeavor, punctuated by a few moments of lightheartedness, a few moments of joviality. And then we move on with the seriousness of life. And so, but we treat people with good character. And then finally, the verse of Allah. We mentioned at the end of all of it, wouldn't each and every one of us want to be in those who are called when Allah Ta'ala proclaims, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna, O you contented soul, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Return to your Lord, pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Enter amongst my servants. وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Enter into my paradise. Who amongst us would not want to be amongst those who are called at the end of it all? But to be amongst those people, We have to be that nafsul mutma'inna. And to be that nafsul mutma'inna, we have to turn away from that ego, that unrefined soul that's chained to its carnal lust and appetites, that it's enslaved to seeking creature comforts. We have to turn away from that. We have to struggle with ourselves through that stage of nafs al-lawwama. We have to rebuke ourselves. We have to question ourselves. We have to struggle with ourselves. And then over time we rise to that nafs al-mutma'inna, and we're amongst those that Allah Ta'ala, that the caller cries out to, and we enter amongst Allah's servants. Insha'Allah, we enter into His paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.